Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
So good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to our people joining us online. Just if you're here this morning, you're very welcome. If you're online, you're very welcome, but you're more welcome if you're in the room, because love, you know, I love people who make an effort to get to church. Isn't that brilliant? And if you're lying there in your bed this morning, bless you. May the bed bugs not bite you too much. Oh, that's not a terrible thing to say. It's awful. Actually, Jill van Opstal, isn't it funny? She's married to Paul van Opstal, and you can't say a Dutch name without sounding like Sean Connery, can you? It's the bottom line. She's a friend of Jane's, for those of you who were here a few weeks ago. The connection is they're connected with Redemption Church, one of our churches that we're in partnership with, and also she's a good friend of Jane's, has been for many years, YWAM days and all that. It's going to be a brilliant night, so come along Wednesday. And listen, see if you're getting baptized. If you haven't been baptized as a believer, as an adult, get baptized next week. It's going to be great. We're even going to heat the water. Like, I can't say, honestly, we had a discussion about this internally where I said, wise up, big Jessies, get them in there, get them dunked, get them out, right? Heating the water. We don't do heat in the water. Do you think the Lord heated up? Hold on a week. He probably did. You know, he had all those things covered. But we've even got, I might be overselling this. We might not be heating the water, but there was a discussion about it. And bring your friends and family. They'll just be completely curious. Like, what the heck are you doing? But it'll be brilliant. All right. Is that good? Also, just to show you, we have a brand new devotional. You know, who loved Fearless? That was brilliant. Okay, if I stand in the middle here, what you'll see here is this is now, it's called Hopeful, and it is available on Amazon. That's what? Oh yeah, it's not a spell mistake. It's not that we can't think. It's actually Hopeful, as opposed, you know what I mean, as opposed to Hopeful. See what we did there? It's actually Penny's new devotional, and it's a belter. And it's really good. It is actually, I've actually read it a number of times. It's the only hard copy we have because it was the preview copy. So if you go on to Amazon and get it, I think, are we going to get some here that we can hand out as well? But if you want it, it's on Kindle and everything else. Online people, get your copies. It's fab. And it really helps you just good thoughts every day to get you thinking about the grace of Jesus in your life. Isn't that good? Right, so shall we get cracking into the Word this morning? And if you're here this morning, I want to say it's not by accident. The Lord doesn't do accidents. He doesn't do just freakish kind of things coming together like the world thinks he does. Everything is orchestrated by the Lord. And if you're here this morning, it's because he's going to plant something into your heart in our series about hope. Because we're into Easter, and Easter's only a few weeks away. And I call this series Living Hope. And I explained that last week, where the world is short on hope. See, if you lose hope. Now, hope is, it feels like, I'm going to make this really simple today, because it feels like with hope, it's like, it's this kind of thing here, and how do I actually ground this and make it flesh and blood, right? Make it like really, like part of my lived experience as opposed to I hope that. Because in the New Testament, the word elpis, as I said last week, means to expect or to anticipate with pleasure. It's that expectation of God's goodness, actually a strong and confident expectation that, as you've sung today from Psalm 27, I am confident I'm going to see his goodness in the land of the living. Do you get that? There's plenty of people who go, God, it'll all come together, it'll all work out to good when I'm on the other side and in glory. And I'm sure that will be fantastic. But personally, I don't want to wait that long. Anybody? Some of you are going, actually, happy enough to wait by the looks of you. But for me, I kind of go, no, when the Lord promised that he would, when becoming a new creation was about more than just dealing with the issue of sin in my life, it was to restore relationship so that I as a son and you as a son and a daughter can enjoy the fullness of God's presence in our lives. A relationship that is not just about hang in there until you get through to glory, but a father who loves you, completely loves you. And he says, I loved you first. It is not about your righteous acts, your right acts that make you righteous. It's about my love and my grace, first and foremost, in your life, my promise, not your work. Okay, so the whole thing of Scripture is, as I said last week, he reveals himself, we respond to what he reveals. He reveals himself as the one who forgives, and we respond by saying, thank you, I want to be forgiven. Do you get that? And so this whole thing I talked about last week, about revelation response. Just like whatever God is revealing, we respond to it. 1 Peter 1:13 says this, says, where do we set our hope? So if we have this expectation that something is going to be different than what it is today. So think about your life right now. Think about what's going on and ask yourself the question, is this it? Anybody? Did you wake up, like if I was in the business world today, I'd be saying it's like, they have this thing called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And once you get to the top of Maslow's hierarchy, you're like what they call fully self-actualized, which kind of means like Zen, like I've got everything I need. And it was all just really cool. And I always say to people in business, are you feeling kind of up here at the top of the triangle? And every single one of them goes, no, not a chance. Because we did, all of us woke up this morning going, not that life is bad in any way. And if your life is, you've got struggles, then you're in the best place for it. Meet Jesus, encounter him, and he will transform your life. And it's not to say that our lives are awful, but we do all have that kind of sense, don't we? Like, there's more than this. Anyone? Or is it just me? Oh, Lord. Lordy. Tough crowd this morning, Adam, isn't it? You think they were all out in their rip last night or something. All right? But what you do is you set your hope fully on grace. It says in 1 Peter 1:13. I remember Peter was writing to people who were a mixture of people who had been in the religious tradition, the Jews and the Gentiles, people who had been in the world. And he said, if you're going to put your hope anywhere, put it on grace. Now, what I mean, why is that important? And it comes, it says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ in 1 Peter 1:13. So this is the way that you're going to survive in a world that is pressing in against you. Remember, that was the context for last week. You've only got one place to go, and that's the grace of Jesus, the finished work of Jesus. And that's why in this church we preach Jesus revealed. Not God's good. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to bolster up the work of God in order to see the blessing of God. That's not the gospel. Remember, you're always responding to what he is revealing. And what he reveals first and foremost is that his work in your life is unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. That's the finished work of the gospel. That's the great news of the gospel. On my best days, on my worst days, by my own reckoning, it doesn't change one bit how he sees me or loves me. It doesn't change his commitment to me. It doesn't change his heart for me. It doesn't change the way that he's looking at me. He said, I loved you, what? First. And because I loved you first, all of your behavior, let's be honest, behavior is important, but it's not the root of holiness. Righteousness is the root of holiness. Believing first, we are righteous by faith. And then our behavior changes. You know, that's why I absolutely believe, you know what, you know, we do, you know, I absolutely believe, because somebody said to me this week, tell me about holiness. I go, I believe it's a fruit. It's not the root, it's the fruit of being loved by God, isn't it? Has to be. I've tried to be holy for years. Happen to Penny. She's just going, It's my wife, if you don't know her. She's going, and you fail miserably. I know. And the thing is, you know, that's why we preach righteousness by faith, and then holiness is the fruit of that. It's really important, the order of it, okay? And so I just said last week, the Christian hope is a confidence that you have today in a world that's going crazy, that because he said it, it will come to pass in the land of the living. And don't dumb down your hope. I said last week, so that you simply live with lower expectations. Because if surely to goodness, if that is one of the ways that the enemy robs God's people today, is don't expect too much. Isn't that right? Don't expect too much. You know, certainly don't expect anything beyond what you think you are due. So keep it dumbed down. Because if I got what I was due and you got what you were due, it probably wouldn't be an awful lot, would it? And that's what the enemy does. He just say, you know, I think this constant thing of, did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say that he'd love you? Did God really say that your behavior, once you're in Christ, right, doesn't change how he loves you or his heart to bless you? Did he really say that he would heal you when you were sick? Or is it because you can't get rid of this condition, like you're excluded because you're not good? Did he really say continually just eating away at what? All right, at hope. The expectation that something can be different. And I want to tell you, if Easter is about anything, Easter is about hope. And I want to explain it to you today, because and it's quite a simple message. And because I know that for some of us, it's a difficult thing to grasp. It's a difficult thing to get hold of because we go, well, what does it look like? Help me. See, on a wet, to use my expression, on a wet Tuesday, I can't say in November, but a wet Tuesday in April when the rain's bashing off my windows and my wife's not speaking to me and the kids are horrible and I've no money and the gas is going through the roof and all that stuff, right? Just, that's not my life, by the way. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, trying to pull a few things. Go, God, he's having a terrible time, isn't he? Actually, it's like, what do you turn to? I'm going to maybe surprise some of you today, and you're going to really need to listen to me, because what you might find is this is going to cut across some of the religiosity in you and some of the things that scare the life out of you as a believer, because hope is about imagination. And as soon as I say that word imagination, you go, uh-oh, he's got a new age. And we're all going to be doing yoga next week and all this stuff. Lighting candles and incense and chanting things. No, no, slow down. We're not going that fast, all right? Because hope is more powerful than what you realize. And the biblical definition of hope is imagination. Let me tell you why that matters to you. You've got to understand the power of your imagination if you are going to harness the power of hope. You've got to understand the power of your imagination if you're going to harness the power of hope. Let me tell you why. Romans 8, should we go to the Bible just in case you're starting to panic and going, oh, heretic, get him off the stage, right? Romans 8 says this, for in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? Kind of makes sense, right? You don't hope for something that's in front of you that you can see. The definition of hope is always something that you're not living in, walking in, or seeing. You get that? Because once it arrives, you don't hope for it anymore because it's there. That's what Paul's saying. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So Paul's making it very clear here when he's writing a Roman to the church in Rome. He's saying, look, hope, you don't ever see that. Hope is not what you see. Now, this gives us a real problem today because we are absolutely driven by that which is in front of us. What is real to most people today, including most believers, is not just what they see, feel, touch, taste, and smell, and all the rest of it. All right? It's not just that, but it's actually slightly more than that. It's how they feel about things. You get that? It's not just the physical, but what we've done is we've put a layer on in a world today which is increasingly narcissistic, increasingly self-centered. And it's about what makes you feel good. And it has infiltrated the church. The church is just as bad with full of people who go, I just don't really feel it today. Did you feel it in the worship? No, I'm spitting everywhere. Doing a camel here. So it's a good job to push the chairs back today, right? That's funny, isn't it? Is this going to go wrong? Because there's also a hole in the stage, which I keep missing. Have you seen that there? This could be really... This could get your 250 quid into who's being framed or whatever when I go down this hole. But you know what I mean? We've put a whole layer of feeling on top of it. And as a church, that's what we've done, right? We've gone, how am I feeling? I don't really feel it. Look, and I've said before, that's just flesh. Do you get that? You don't live by the flesh, and you don't live by what you see. You're called to live by faith. And actually, when it says in Corinthians about faith, hope, and love, actually, hope comes above faith. I'm going to talk about that maybe in a couple of weeks on Easter Sunday. You see, hope means... By definition, we have a living hope, Jesus on the inside of us, the finished work of Jesus. But by definition, you can't see it. You can't see it with these physical eyes. Now, you might be thinking, well, look, if I don't get to see this, Andrew, how can I look at it? And what the Bible is clear about is you don't see with your physical eyes, you see with the heart that God has put in you. Now, this elevates you from the rest of the world. It puts you in a different place when it comes to living with expectation. Because there's a verse I'm going to unpack just in 1 minute. Because you need to realize, and we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, how many times do we go, I can't see it, therefore I can't believe it. You know, and I'm not even feeling like it. And hope cuts across all that. Whenever Peter was writing to the church at this time, remember he was writing to a church that was being persecuted. He's been, you know, somebody's going to look at you funny today through no fault of their own, just the way they are. It's the face God gave them in the coffee lounge. You're going to get offended. You go, look at the way they looked at me. It happens to me all the time. Do you know what? I'm like a goldfish. This is a good thing to know about me. You will tell me something today, and I honestly,
Not that I'm a bad person. I'll forget it in 15 minutes. And then you'll get offended next week that I don't ask you about it. And he never asked me how that went. What pastor's he? I'm not bad. I don't even remember my kids' names, right? I walk around the house going, who's that? What age? You know, but my Penny has, she has all the, you know, women have all the birthdays in order. Oh, that, not even their own kids, everyone else's kids. Oh, she's a June birthday, the 15th. How do you know this, right? I don't even know my way home. Do you get me? And so, you know, you've got to think, yeah, I'll come back to that. All right, I'll come back to that. You see, it's hard, this stuff, hope. It's hard to, because if we define it by what the world's defined it by, you're never going to go anywhere. So let's get into it. What does it mean, imagination? It says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. The word mind here in Hebrew is yatzeh, or yatzer, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And it's translated through the Old Testament as imagination. So you keep him in perfect peace, whose imagination is on you. So that's how you could quote that verse. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace when you have your imagination set on him. Now, why is that important? See, a lot of believers today, and even you might be rejecting the idea of imagination because we think it's childish. Oh, the dreamers, oh, this, that, and the other, and this is just like imagining stuff. It's like we deal with reality, right? I've heard this all the time going, you know, that's all very good, but what's real? And actually, when you go to the word, what's real is what he says first, and then everything else follows. You see, the world says what is real is what we can see, taste, touch, and smell. What the Lord says is real is what he says first, which forms and shapes and directs everything else. Do you get that? And so I'll unpack it. Let's do a wee exercise, right? So you ready to go? So if I say the word apple, apple, right? You'll go, right? You're thinking apple. Now, I don't think anyone will be going A-P-P-L-E and seeing letters in your head, will you? Are you just imagining an apple? Is it red or is it green? Who knows? So if I said a big red apple, what's going on in you right now? Like, it's not a trick question. Look, some of you are going, I'm actually not really sure what's going on. Big red apple. But you get me? Or big green apple, Granny Smith apple. You all with me? Now, if I kept adding words into this, what happens to the picture in your head? It changes. And what happens? It becomes more clear, doesn't it? So the more information I just speak to you, what's going on in the seat of your mind? The picture of what it describes is becoming clearer. Do you understand that? That's what it means to set your imagination on something. And what the Lord says is it goes deep into you. It goes into the deepest part of you. See, your imagination is how you think. It's how you meditate. It's how you understand things. It's how you remember things. Actually, you can't do anything without imagination. If you had no imagination today at 12:15, whenever we finish, and you get your cup of tea, you'd be wandering around the car park for the next hour because you wouldn't know how to get home. Some of that happens to you anyway, right? But you get me? Without anything going on in here, right, you wouldn't even know how to get yourself home. You see, so these pictures, you know, this is why now when I start to talk about the grace of Jesus, right? You know, grace, the Lord always is painting in pictures for your imagination because one of the things that makes us human is we never switch it off. You never stop picturing. Now, I'm going to show you another couple of verses in a minute. So it's not a question of, am I imagining? The question is, what am I imagining? Does it reflect the hope of grace and what I see in grace, or is it something else? Other people, other things, other ideas. Either one of those has profound implications for how you are now living your life. Either in hope with a confident expectation of the future or going round in circles, kind of going, I hope it's going to be all right, bolting a wee bit of Jesus on whenever things get tight, right? But essentially working it out yourself. because there's no such thing as neutral. You don't get to, you know, you might think you know some empty heads, right? But they're really not. There's always something going on. It's the way that we've been created. It's the way. So that's why with grace, what's grace in Hebrew? Anyone? Come on, guys. Number 5, okay? And it's a picture of what? Open heaven, an open window to heaven. So the rabbis can't translate it because they don't understand grace through the finished work of Jesus. But we know in the alphabet, grace, 5, open window to what? All of the provision of heaven seen through the number 5, grace. So when you start, that's why the Lord does it. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of living water. Even when the heat comes, you'll not shrivel up. Pictures being created. Why? Because that goes to the seat of who you are. And that's where your peace comes from. I've said it many times before, and I'm not a weirdo about social media and stuff like that, because we use it for the church and all the rest of it. But, you know, I cannot encourage you enough to be really, really careful about what you put your mind to. It's interesting, we have she's not in the room, is she? Our wee one, our middle one, Hopi. We've hit the stage where she's P7 going to big school next year. And this year, when did she grow up? And when did that happen? And she's nearly dead for a phone, right? Holy moly, she is absolutely, I want a phone. Do you know what? She's the only child in Strandtown Primary School who doesn't have a phone. All 1,100 pupils, apparently, and she's the only one who doesn't have it. Right? We are the worst parents probably in the history of parenting right now. Right? Isn't that right? And so she came last week with a piece of paper, and she pushed it under my nose like this. And it was a contract that she'd written. It was really cute. It was like, I, Daddy, hereby declare, right? And it was the date that she's getting a phone. And not what kind of phone it is, to be quite, she could have a Nokia 3210 and think it's awesome, right? It's just give me a phone. And so I signed this up and just went 2022 on it. And she went, try again. I want a date and it has to be by the end of June, right? Now, I didn't sign it because I'll not break my promise to her. Well, I kind of signed it, but I didn't put a date on it. Now, I'll tell you what's really interesting for me. I don't know if you look around the research around preteen girls as an example, and the effect of this kind of stuff on the mental health and well-being of teenagers. It would frighten the life out of you. That's not Christian propaganda. That's what the world is saying. We've unleashed a monster and we don't know how to fix it. All we have to do now is continually feed it with different innovations and iterations of the same thing, which is about getting to the heart of somebody so you get their attention. Do you know what it's all about? It's about attention. What are you looking at? What are you giving yourself to? What are you, you know? Do you understand what the game is? Why? Think about it. Why would the world do that? Right? Because it goes to the heart of where God's trying to go. See, if God can get your heart and your attention and show you that in the imagination, what you see on the inside when you are filled with your hope fully set on grace and what it promises, right? That's the battle for the hearts of men and women today, I believe. And it gets younger and younger and younger. So watch this space. She'll probably want to divorce us by June, okay? It's not that we're being bad to her, but we're going to hold the line as much as we can, or at least put some really big boundaries around it. So I've looked at the data. I like data. It helps me to sometimes figure stuff out. That's horrendous. Do you know what? But you lot, we're not much better, are we, big grown adults? Flicking. Isn't that right? Does anyone feel brilliant after half an hour on Facebook? Or do you just go, what the flip? Look at they're having for their dinner. See your woman. All bright, shiny kids, isn't that right? I hate that. See that? Those Insta moments? My beautifully turned out children, you know? Drives me nuts. Just capturing this moment of my child washing a poor person. They're so cool. Shut up. Terrible, isn't it? You know? It's all nonsense. It's all complete nonsense. But we take it hook, line, and sinker. I'm not saying be weird. What I'm saying is, what are you setting your heart to? Because I will occasionally flick on Facebook. I do, just because I'm nosy. And I want to hear things, and oftentimes I get church stuff and or business stuff or whatever. But what I realize is underneath it all, how much of that is shaping and forming and making who we are as people. And we need to ask ourselves the question, if I want to have a living hope in me, then that living hope is going to grow in me, it's going to form in me, it's going to shape in me, absolutely based on what I'm setting my imagination to. Because the Lord says, you'll have perfect peace when you compare yourself to some randomer who you don't even really like, to be fair, and what they had for their dinner and what their dog's called and what, whatever, right? Especially the dog stuff, that just drives me nuts. There ain't perfect peace there for anyone. Or someone's opinion, or whatever. Folks, it's your choice, it's my choice in 2022 to go in a world that is pressing in on us. What kind of life do I want to see? Do I want to see the promise of grace for me and my children? Do I want to see the fullness of God's grace in my life? Do I want to see his unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor as my lived experience? Or am I going to trade that for a counterfeit which will never deliver that which it promises? Because you'll keep me in perfect peace when my imagination, all of is set on you. All of those things, right? I'm not saying it's like the Wizard of Oz all behind it. Actually, if you do some research around this kind of stuff, they didn't realize what they were doing in its fullness. They made it, and it's almost like the horse has bolted. Now they're going to flip me. How do we get the horse back? Too late. It's gone. So just be wise to it, because it could be the opinions of other people. It could be the whatever your Aunt Aggie thinks. I don't know. All I know is that every time in my day, for Penny and I, you know, we start every day by setting our minds to what grace has done. So does that mean we get up a wee bit earlier? Well, it means we wake a little bit earlier. We just play some sermons. We are so holy. And no, but we do. I'm not going to lie to you. We do. And we listen, and then we pray, and then we get up, and we face the day. And that really helps, because oftentimes there's just little things drop in. It's not right. One word, one line, which sets my heart to grace. And I go, right. Doesn't mean that the days aren't hard. The days aren't tough. There's lots to deal with. Of course there is. Right? But sometimes I just find the Lord putting a little bit of stuff into my imagination real early. Really, really helps. So what I might say to you is this, that if you imagine, or if you think that your imagination, this bit of the inside of you, this bit to creatively picture is God's way of building you in hope, then protect that. Protect that. If you want living hope in you, then protect it. Even because, you know, what I'm going to say is this, is, you know, how you imagine, meditate, understand, how you remember things, right, is actually what drives your life. I'll come to that in one moment. You know, in Genesis 6:5, it said, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Here's the Lord's talking about deep thoughts here, not just surface thoughts. And so what it tells you is that God actually deals with you on that heart level. We know that, don't we, from 1 Samuel 16:7. Men look on the outside, but the Lord looks in the heart. And he sees the imagination of our hearts. And the reason why I'm kind of talking over this is because many of us don't think it's a big deal. We kind of go, it doesn't really matter. It does matter. It really does matter. And it's not like you have to pull up yourself by your bootstraps. And it's just, I'm just asking you to consider today that if you want, that hope sees. And in order for hope to see, it can't see it with this. You need to point it towards that which fills your heart and allow the Lord to paint the picture for you. Does that make sense? So if you're sick today and you read, I'm the Lord who heals you, you either go, whatever. But even just dwelling on that and going, the Lord heals me. My next thing is, what do I look like healed? What does that look like? What does that feel like? What is that in the inside of me? If I start to picture in my mind what healing looks like. When I had my wee episode last year, did I tell you about that? And when I ended up in the Ulster, I remember sitting there for hours because they forgot about me, quite frankly, and they just left me sitting in a seat, which was actually quite nice. I just sat with the sun beating through the window and up in this ward. And I was waiting for them to come back to tell me what was wrong with me. And I just had this moment of going, when they come back and tell me this, that, or the other, whatever it may be, what am I going to do with it? Right? Because I knew there was something wrong. I had a heart thing last year, for those of you who don't know. And so what I started to do, I remember I was flicking on my phone, ironically, and that was my Bible app. Oh, go on, put that in there. And I started just to, there's a guy called John Hagee. He's a pastor in America who's reasonably controversial, depending on whatever side of the fence you sit. But he had this thing called Healing Scriptures. It's like an hour and 20 minutes of just him reading Healing Scriptures set to music. I thought, brilliant, I'll put my headphones on and listen to this. Closed my eyes, the sun was beating through the window, and all of a sudden, I just started to, the Lord started to speak to me to go, you've been sitting here waiting for this opinion to come to paint a picture of what this is going to mean. It was as clear as that. I was imagining they're sitting poring over my charts going, oof. You know, some of you might be even surprised that they found a heart, but there you go, they did, right? Let alone a functioning one. And I really felt the Lord speak to me in that moment. I go, what are you expecting? I just started to let Pastor Hagee just put this stuff over me. Just, it was brilliant. And I kind of just felt this incredible rush of peace to go, whatever they come and say, right? That doesn't matter. This is what I'm setting my heart on. So I made a choice to go, I'm going to listen to the information, but I'm not going to give it a place of authority. Because the place of authority in my life is the primacy of the work of grace, the work of Jesus. And what does he say? And after about 55 minutes, right, that's proper like old school revival type stuff, you know, Hammond organ and all, brilliant, right? I was like, I was almost wanting to stand up, you know, and go, see you, you're healed, poof, and all this stuff. But I held myself back. I didn't do it. But it gave me hope that day. Because, do you know one of the things that they said to me? My blood pressure went really crazy. And like really, really crazy. Plus 200 something. All the nurses go, what? Right? And they said, you've got this thing called white coat syndrome. That means you're afraid of people, like doctors, which is true. I don't know. If you're a doctor, God bless you. But my blood pressure was going crazy because of the doctor, not because there was anything wrong with me. Do you know what I mean? I'd never heard white coat syndrome before. And then, but that really struck me because I thought, what am I imagining? That this man or woman has the power for what? In my imagination, I was having a fear reaction because of this person. Do you get that? This person. And so my blood pressure was responding. I had to vocalize it to one of the consultants, the one who said I was the thinnest person he had seen in weeks. I went, are you absolutely sure you're a doctor, mate? I said, I wish they were all like you. I said to him, you know, I actually don't like doctors much. Help me to say it out loud. And he went, no, I don't like doctors much either. He said, but don't worry, we're going to get you fixed. But already something in my heart had gone, what am I expecting? What am I imagining? 15 more trips to the hospital? Not a chance. As for me, I'm going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And just poof, the peace of God. Literally, I felt the peace of God fall on me in that moment. They gave me a couple of tablets and threw me out. Said, away you go, you're fine. Your imagination is the root of hope. Even if you think this week, what have you been dwelling on? Have you set your hope fully on the grace of God? Do you have time for Jesus revealed and what that shows you? Or are you just too darn busy just trying to get through? I really believe that for the rest of this year, honestly, that one of the things that the Lord is going to put into your heart, right, if you will allow him and give him space to do it, is he's going to paint pictures of the things, of the brokenness and the dysfunction that have plagued some of you for years. And he's going to allow you to see a picture of what grace looks like when it encounters your mess and how it heals you. And in those moments, don't rush past it. Don't be in a rush to get to the next thing, but say, yes, Lord, thank you. I receive it. And I'm going to just dwell on that. I'm going to think on that. I'm going to imagine that. Now, is this okay? I haven't freaked you out yet, no? Okay, good. Because, you know, one of the things here is that, you know, that's why imagination is such a big deal for the Lord. Set your imagination on the Lord. Because imagination is not moral or amoral. Actually, it's a gift of God that you can use creatively to deepen your experience of God and his promises. And I'll just show you that now before we finish. Because every time the Bible, if you want to go and do your own research, every time the Bible talks about imagination in a positive way, the actual word yetzer, and it's used in a positive way, it uses the word hope. Isn't that interesting? Every time imagination is used positively, it's the word hope that God puts in there. When Paul talked about hope, as an example, he was talking about seeing things on the inside. He was taking the promises of God, and through those promises of God, they were shaping and forming his life. Let me just say this. Your life will go the direction that you imagine. That's why it matters. That's why it's so important. And many people don't understand how important this is. But when what God has told you becomes a vision on the inside of you, it says in Romans 8:25, wait for it with patience, right? People who quit and give up, normally what happens is because their imagination is negative, right? They're seeing the negative side of something instead of the positive side of something. And whether you know it, whether you like it, whether this offends you or not, what Scripture tells us is that your imagination, what you're setting your mind to, is dictating how your life is progressing. And you might go, no, you don't understand. There's this and there's that and there's the other, and people did this and people did that and people did the other. And I get that, okay? When people make a mess, it impacts on us. But the thing that we do control is how we respond to that. And I don't know about you, but no matter where I find myself, I have a God of hope who always promises restoration, turnaround, and tells me that even though 10,000 may fall at my right hand, it'll not affect me. That even though people come up against me, I can rest in the presence of Jesus and the battle is his. Do you get that? I've seen that in church, in business, in every other way. And so I have long since tried to stop putting myself at the behest and become a victim of somebody else's sin. Why? Because the grace of Jesus is greater than anybody's mess. And my hope is not in that people won't wreck my life. My hope is in the fact that no matter what people do around me, that Jesus' grace works better still. Amen? You get that? And so what we have to understand, and just because it says in Proverbs 23, doesn't it? For as he thinks in his heart, in his lubav, that word is the innermost place, so is he. So the way that you think is the way that your life goes. Now that not may make some of you feel brilliant, okay? And it's not a condemnatory thing. It's a thing to go, but you've got the opportunity, okay? You've got the opportunity to set your hope fully on grace today and to allow the Lord to start that process in you. I would probably say imagination, I heard somebody describe it once, it's a bit like soil. Soil doesn't really care what kind of seed you put in it, does it? If you've got really good soil, does it really matter what kind of seed you put in? What's going to happen in the soil? It's going to grow. If that helps you as a picture, I heard that years and years ago, and it really did make me think. You get to choose whether your imagination is positive, which is hope, or negative, and that will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, I could spend loads of time on this, but I'm going to finish now, okay? It says in Luke 21:26, people's hearts would fail them for fear, looking at all the things that are happening on the earth. Is that not like right today? People's hearts would fail them for fear when they look at everything that's going on around them? Can I just say this? God's given you a powerful, powerful, positive imagination. It'll make a difference. Can I encourage you this week? Set your hope fully on the grace of Jesus that comes on as Jesus has revealed, 1 Peter 1:13. Set your hope fully on that. Let that dominate you this week like it's never done before. Don't wait for your feelings, okay, to go, oh, I'm feeling really brilliant about this. Because your feelings, that's a narcissistic view of the world. Your feelings will follow suit. But what I want to say to you today is this. Start by going, what am I picturing and what am I imagining? What is it that goes on the inside of me? What's shaping that? What is forming that? What am I giving myself to? Because honestly, God will put a positive imagination, a hope in you, and it will make a difference to you. You'll start believing more. You'll start resting more. And actually what you'll find is you'll get better results than what you've ever seen before. If you've been hopeless up until now, I'm just going to give you a moment here before we take communion just to sit and rest and go, Lord, from today, I'm calling time on everything else that has formed and shaped what I see on the inside of me. Because as we get through to Easter, see, here's the thing. Next week's baptism service, I'm going to be speaking about that. And if you're getting baptized, see me after the service today. I've got a few things I need to speak to you about. But then when we get to Easter Sunday, and we talk about Resurrection Sunday, is like where the whole of the Bible is validated by the resurrection. It says that, right, in the New Testament. If Jesus didn't rise again, we're all stuffed. Andrew, paraphrase. That's why I've never done a paraphrase of the Bible. Nobody outside of Belfast would understand it, right? But we're going to talk about that, and what's going to happen is for most of you, you'll go, I've heard all that before, and it goes over your head. I can't believe for that again. I can't believe that for more. And you'll miss the power of Easter Sunday. You'll miss the power of the resurrection of Jesus and his grace now. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. As the Lord starts to speak to you about key areas of your life today, in your body, in your mind, in your work, in your business, in your friends, in all of the stuff that even we don't see, as the Lord starts to speak to you and start to show you what grace looks like. Because, for example, when you're sick, what does grace look like when it deals with your sickness? If you're lonely, what does grace do when you're lonely? If you're disappointed, what does grace do? Just start to look at things through the lens of the work that Jesus has done. And from that point, okay, start to imagine. That's actually Isaiah 26:3. That's you setting your imagination to the Lord, and the result will be peace. Then Romans 8 says, just wait patiently and watch him do it. Amen? Is that helpful today? Does that help? I honestly believe right now God is arresting some things where it's just some. Do you know the word I feel right now? It's like some of you have just gone, this is just the way that it is. It's just the way that it is. And the Lord says, no, it's not. Let's repaint that picture of what my grace has done. Close your eyes for 1 minute. Pray over you just before we take communion together. Just pray that this morning for everyone who's listening, everyone under the sound of my voice here online, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would be filled again with hope. Things that start, things that have been stuck in your life, things that have been hard, disappointments and hurts, if it's that, or just frustrations or whatever it has been, the brokenness of the world and everything that goes on around it. I just pray right now that you would have a revelation of Jesus and his love for you. I pray that right now that the Lord would just start to show you your healing. He would start to show you your future. He would start to show you your business prospered, your career having impact. That you start to see change in your family on the inside. And this is more about the power of positive thinking. That's what the world thinks it is. This is the Lord sowing seeds of grace into your life and showing you that that is his promise to you. And as it says in the Psalms, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I speak it over you. I agree it in the name of Jesus over your life today. For those of you who are sick today, we speak healing and health from your toes to the top of your head. For those of you who are disappointed, I just pray healing and restoration. For those of you who are afraid, I just pray the supernatural peace of God over you, washing over you in Jesus' name. Father, we receive your grace this morning. We thank you, Father, that it's just your wonderful, wonderful gift to us. We can't earn it, can't make our way towards it with any sense of self, Lord. We just have to simply stand here this morning and receive grace upon grace. Your favor, Lord. So thank you for that word, Jesus. Thank you for your living hope in us. We set our minds on you, our hearts on you today. And all God's people said, anyway, why don't we stand up? We're going to take communion together.